Lounge over Rustavelli Avenue. This is TabeelPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 4th of October, 2012. On this date in 1890 in Washington, D.C., the creepy, stupid organization known as the Daughters of the American Revolution was founded. In 1899, the Boer War began, first modern use of concentration camps. In 1954, the Viet Minh took control of North Vietnam. In 1962, the Second Vatican Council occurred. Pope John XXIII convened the first ecumenical council of the Roman Catholic Church in 92 years. Woohoo! The 11th of October was a big day in 1975. Saturday Night Live premiered. Bill and Hillary Clinton were married, and Bruce Springsteen's first big hit, Born to Run, was released. 10 years ago today, Jimmy Carter won the Nobel Peace Prize. Betty Noyce, who was Debbie Reynolds' real voice in Singing in the Rain, was born 100 years ago today. Also born on this day are Eleanor Roosevelt, the Cool, in 1844, and novelist Elmore Leonard, the Rad, in 1925. Anybody ever read anything by Elmore Leonard? He's great. Good books. Anyway, read them. Vladimir Putin turned 60 years old on Sunday, October 7th, a helpful reminder that at one point he was, in fact, a tiny little baby in a village near Gori. Yeah.
Also worth mentioning that a big Texan personality had its birthday
a few days ago. It did have its birthday a few days ago.
That Texan was never tiny or little.
Special holiday birthday greetings also going out to Mariam Amita G.B. Mullen and one Mitch Belkin. This week's Georgian Journal article by me is about the two misinterpretations of the elections. The one by the National Movement, which is that they lost because of the video. They would have won, and then there was the video, and so they lost, thereby letting them not look inwards and figure out what all of their problems were, in fact, since they really would have lost. The misinterpretation by the Georgian Dream is that there was so much fraud around that they would have won by a complete landslide, which is not, in fact, the case. Unlike with the Rose Revolution, where everybody was in favor of Shevardnadze going, except his immediate family, this time around, there is a large chunk of the population that is pretty supportive of the National Movement for reasonable, for good reason, and like them and have real concerns about the future and how... How Bidzina deals with them will be important.
Interesting. I haven't seen your article, but I saw some data recently that I think will become public pretty soon, and they were talking about how the number of people who were undecided or preferred no part or had no party association went down to approximately zero in September.
Wow.
There's this one. Right, there's one right here. I can tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you wrote that great thing in whatever it was, The Independent. But I've heard that immediately after the election, like the day after the election, was the biggest day of people, physically going to the National Movement office asking to join in their history. You know, and then the National Movement, what do they do? Who do they have be the person that is going to assist people in joining? I mean, of the sort of Facebook crew? Misha Tal Khalidze. And so everyone's like, yeah, okay, maybe we don't want to join the National Movement. So, most of the big stories this week relate to the aftermath of last week's elections and ministerial appointments. Little information on the UNM people who have fled the country first. So,
who are on vacation.
They're on leave.
Who are on leave.
So, and about to start studying somewhere.
And about to start studying for a long time, lengthy PhD program. So, the Achalaya brothers, Datta and Bacho, have supposedly both left. Adeshvili, we've heard, is in Austria.
He might enjoy Innsbruck. It's a very nice place in the fall.
I mean, he wants to see some mountains, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lushkov also enjoys it there. It's exactly. A great place to hang out.
I actually saw a conviction report that he was in Frankfurt as well. But anyway, he's on leave.
He was just transiting through.
Same kind of deal.
He's on official leave.
Of course, Mano is still here. I think his family may have bolted. Shashkin is in the United States. Family is in Brussels, supposedly. Of the people that I did not know, Kardava, the head of the military police in the Ministry of Defense, then the General Inspector in Interior, replacing Sonadze, and then having moved to Zudidi to help out Roland Achalaya, has supposedly bolted. Head of the Patrol Police, who was prominent in the Girvliani incident, I forgot his name.
Kodula.
That Kodua? No.
I think it was.
Really?
Oh, no, Kodua was head of the criminal police.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, can't remember his name. He's left. Roland Achalaya is supposedly still in Georgia, and still, I guess...
being protected by his neighbors?
Being protected by his neighbors.
And still his parliamentarian immunity.
And his parliamentarian immunity, yes. He's the MP-elect from Zugdidi. We'll see how that goes.
I don't understand why Shashkin would have fled. I don't think... Does anyone accuse Shashkin of having blood in his hands or anything like that?
Well, I mean, he was head of the prison system for a long time, and I mean, from what I've heard, you know, that the sort of ritual humiliation and all that sort of stuff on video was with the thieves-in-law first, and it wasn't necessarily part of the prison system until after Achalaya's term, which was Shashkin's. Now, I don't know that Shashkin did that, but it seems to the thieves-in-law tactics then moved into the rest of the prison system on his watch. Is what I've heard. I don't know much about that. Çocheli, the regional governor of Mskheta, has supposedly taken a hasty vacation. There was also a sort of cryptic remark by Maya Panjakidze that said that Vashadze, the foreign minister, is not around. Now, foreign ministers travel a lot, and it seems odd to think that he would feel the need to bolt, but I don't know. And then there was also a pointed press release by railways saying that their boss has not fled the country, which is sort of... Okay.
Well, he shouldn't be. I mean, I guess they're saying that because, of course, after the Rose Revolution, the then head of the railways is one of the biggest scalps that Misha took. But, I mean, I can't remember his name. I think it's Ezug Bayer is the head of the railway, and he's done a tremendous job. I think, you know, he's really taken...
Well, there have been people who have bonds from them, so you don't want to, like, have the rumors that you know...
Been a cash cow for the government, certainly.
Yeah, well, the country. I mean...
But I mean, I don't know. This is just amazing. So, okay, we're talking about a bunch of people who have potentially fled the country, yes? I mean, we're not talking about people who are on vacation or who are just all of a sudden, gone,
they,
right?
They left the country, you know, within a very brief time after the election. Actually, the exit polls were announced. Is what we've heard, you know. So I don't know.
Which I mean, it's interesting to me because I think that there hasn't. I mean, there had been some initial strong statements, but it's actually been fairly conciliatory, I would say, afterwards.
Well, who knows?
I guess we don't know.
I mean, I don't. This has not been reported in the press. I mean, anywhere that we could find, and this is just rumors.
Scurrilous gossip.
Scurrilous gossip, which is what we're all about here on Spielpod.com. You know, so you know, but I think it is. They didn't know what the rhetoric was going to be like.
Exactly, and I would probably, if I was in a senior position, I would think I can completely understand wanting to get out of Dodge for a couple of months and just see which way the wind blows. Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows if these exiles are permanent or just, you know, just seeing how the land lies before they...
Oh, so they're worried about being a part of the system that they helped to create? Is that becoming a part of the system that they helped to create? Is that...
Well, I think they're worried about...
They're worried about getting tossed in the
yes.
joint is what they're worried about.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if
right,
you look
and
at what happened
being a part
Shevard
of the
Nadze,
system that they helped to create?
Shevardnadze's... yeah, exactly. Shevardnadze's people, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people that were, you know, tossed in jail for a while and coughed up money and then, you know, ended up on the street. There are also, I mean, keep in mind that there were people that the National Movement did not throw in jail. For what political reasons, I'm not sure. You know, whether they just paid up without, you know, going through that process, or they didn't, or there's some political issues. For example, I saw walking the street the other day the infamous Rowan Metrobelli, former head of the mm-hmm. university under Shevardnadze.
We all know you like him.
Oh my God! He also wrote a very dumb history of Georgia that everyone should not
dumb
read.
Dumb book.
Yeah.
I can't believe you stuck that downstairs. Yeah. You'd have words.
Yeah. Really deeply, deeply dumb book. Although. So very, very soon, Donald Rayfield,
yes,
one of the hot shots of the universe, is coming out with A History of Georgia that should be coming out any minute now that I'm dying to come across. Anyway, what I'm interested in these guys, you know, the people in the government that are sort of maybe were super loyalists, so they're probably not going to get a job in the new regime and da-da-da-da. I want to know if I'm going to see them on the bus the way I've seen Shevardnadze people on the bus. You know, I take the bus each morning, and it's kind of nice to see these Shevardnadze people. I saw Peter Mamradze on the bus the other day.
Oh, he's a good guy.
You know, hi, you know, how's it going? Something like that. And, you know, all these National Movement people have been driving around in big old SUVs. You know, I wonder if they're going to be walking along Rustaveli again, which I think would be a good thing.
Eating humble pie?
And, well, no, I'm not. Listen, hey, you know, I take the bus. I'm not eating any humble pie, as you know. You know.
Yeah, so. I mean, what I'm saying is you didn't go from driving an SUV... You know,
indeed.
And
I've never driven
your,
an SUV.
Your little, you know, lights, you know, flashing so that everybody gets out of your way to, you know, driving the bus and having your ticket checked.
I think this is actually, you know, quite a serious, this will be quite a serious test of the new government, is how vengeful they go and if there is a purge. And you know, this is, everyone's been sort of quite, I mean, myself have been quite optimistic and bullish about the whole thing, about how the sort of political maturity that was demonstrated and so on, but it's early days yet, and if there is a sort of massive purge and like a massive retributive thing, then I think that's cause for alarm and everyone should be very concerned about that. I think this is time.
Retributive. I've never said that word in my life before. And so
I hope it's real.
I wanted to just get it out.
Yeah, but I mean, so I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but there was a meeting last week that Georgian Dream and Bidzina Ivanishvili had with the business community, and he basically didn't. He said, "Go through the courts. Everything, go through the courts."
We'll cover that later, young lady, and we'll now move on.
Okay.
Will, I forgot what it was like having you here. Good to have you back there, amigo. All right. So, according to the full preliminary data of the Georgian Election Commission, Georgian Dream Coalition will receive 83 MPs in Parliament. Of those, the Georgian Dream Party has 44 seats, which is a party, but also the name of the coalition. Free Democrats, 12. Republicans, 8. Conservatives, 5. The Industrialists, 5. National Forum, 5. Greens, 1. People's Party, 1. Social Democrats, 1. There's a Social Democrat.
Yeah,
well, who knew people. That the Greens were around?
Yeah, I mean, still around.
It's like a direct, it's a majoritarian? Or,
And no party, 1. UNM will have 67. These total numbers, UNM and Georgian Dreams, are still subject to change since there's a bunch of contested seats around, as we discussed last week. Assuming that UNM accepts the government that is proposed by Bidzina on Monday, then at least 3 MPs, majoritarians Teotihuacan Lukiani, Archil Bilashvili, and Kaja Kaladze, will have to give up their jobs as MPs to take the ministerial post. However, majoritarian MPs trigger by-election, which will not take place until a year from now when the seat is vacated, meaning October 2013. As for party list MPs, they're simply replaced by the next person on the party list. Everyone is...
I think that's within their own party.
Yes, so, of course. Yeah.
So a Republican becomes a minister, it's the next
No,
Republican
no, no. I think
list.
It's within the coalition.
I'm pretty sure that according to a Liberale article published yesterday...
Are you going to trust Liberale or Mark Mullen?
I'm going to refrain from commenting.
No, they ran on the ballot paper as a coalition,
yes,
not as a party.
I'm pretty sure the Liberale... I mean, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure the Liberale article says it's from within the individual parties in the coalition.
Okay, Will Hairspler, Will Dunbar. So, as for party list MPs, they're simply replacing the next person on the party list, coalition ballot. Everyone up to number 49 on the Georgian Dream party list will have seats. Next 5 people on the list are industrialists, conservatives, Georgian Dream, and Republicans. Therefore, if Georgian Dream, Free Democrats, and the Republicans are offered a disproportionate number of government jobs, then their parliamentary position will weaken since the seats are not to be replaced from the same party.
I think that's wrong.
Yeah, okay, it's right. This could be significant, particularly for Free Democrats and Republicans, who seem to have done well in this whole shuffle. Saakashvili has accepted the government's resignation and has stated he will cooperate with Bidzina. On Tuesday, the two met to discuss transfer of power and formation of a new government, which Misha must present to Parliament for confirmation when it reconvenes on October 20th. At the latest, but probably, you know, knowing Georgian use of deadlines, it'll be October 20th. At a news briefing afterwards, Bidzina said that his foreign policy is aligned with Misha's in terms of Europe and Euro-Atlantic strategies. He seemed a little sort of, I don't know, petulant. It was a 38-minute meeting, not so long. Maybe it didn't go so nicely.
Well, you Misha criticized him that he can only do 2-hour meetings, so maybe he just...
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. Yeah, it seems like every meeting he ever has with the public seems to be 2 hours. So photographs taken of Misha and Bidzina walking side by side out of the presidential palace, with Misha looking sad, Bidzina looking somewhat annoyed, have inspired a number of great photoshops by netizens. Check out younggeorgians.wordpress.com for the best of the images.
The best one, Leonardo DiCaprio walking next to them. Oh my God.
There are some great ones. On Monday, October 8th, Bidzina introduced a list of nominees for the ministers. Ivanishvili will be prime minister. Pending questions about his citizenship, the Supreme Court has accepted the lawsuit to restore his citizenship, which Misha took away from him on October 11th. And if they know what's good for him, no, just kidding, we'll see what the Constitutional Court says. Defense Minister nomination is for Irakli Okruashvili. Just kidding. Irakli Alassania, leader of Our Georgia Free Democrats Party. And he was also Deputy State Security Minister under Shevardnadze. Under Misha, he was Ambassador to the UN and was nominated as Deputy Prime Minister.
And maybe it's I think he's the person who is probably most trusted and most known in
it's a,
DC
it's a
and in Brussels.
It's a masterstroke.
And,
it
and says, he has good relations with in the Abkhaz, yeah. and Zugdidi.
It chills out the Abkhaz. It says to the Americans, we're still on side. It's basically the Ministry of Defense is a negotiating position where you just say, please give me some guns, America, and they say yes or no. And
they say, how many kids are you going to send to Afghanistan?
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, it's basically that role. I mean, it's great for him for a number of reasons. I mean, he's an independent political figure. He might want to, for instance, down to the presidency in a year, all the unpleasantness that is bound to happen when this government actually sort of gets in the hot seat, he will be isolated from, because defence is relatively clean. Defence doesn't have to get involved in the nasty nitty-gritty of Georgian politics. It can sort of rise above it and just fly to Washington.
As long as you keep the soldiers fed and housed,
yes, which
and
I think
relatively happy.
Probably be okay. So yeah, I mean, that's a really good appointment. I think that's very clever.
The Minister of Justice, Ted Tsiloukiani, majoritarian MP for Georgian Dream in Nadzaladebi, former European Court of Human Rights lawyer. She's also the first Georgian admitted to and graduated from ENA, the swanky French Public Administration Academy.
French bias in the government.
Yeah, the French have got their people. You know, nice job, Eric. Minister of Interior, Irakli Khalibashvili, former head of Bidzina's charitable Kartu Foundation, is supposedly very close to Bidzina, so that's, you know, good that they're, you know, lockstep. His father-in-law, Thomas Ashvili, former police chief for the eastern region of Kakheti, was arrested in 2011 for allegedly purchasing a firearm, was released earlier this week.
There are some question marks over this guy. Yeah. I mean, no one knows really anything about him. You know, no one is quite sure about him.
Tomasashvili, you mean?
Tomasashvili, and indeed his son.
Although the Tomasashvili deal was just completely, I mean, it was right
after
he announced.
No kidding. Yes, that was obviously a put-up job. But, you know, there's still no one really knows who this guy is. He's sort of obscure right-hand man to Bidzina for years.
Yeah. Loyalty is
Bidzina's a pretty
for.
Obscure guy.
Well, exactly. Yeah, well, indeed. But, I mean, you know, this is the Interior Ministry. This is a hugely important position, and we basically have no idea who this guy is, and so there are worries about him.
And he's in his late 20s, I think, also not very old.
Not very old. Yeah. Classic appointment. You know,
that's
so
right.
Learn something from the National
20s,
Movement, it seems.
That's to keep the average age down, so they can keep the continuity going. Minister of Corrections and Legal Assistance of Georgia, Sosar Subadi, Ombudsman of Georgia from 2004 to 2009.
That seems to be the launching point. Ombudsman, then Minister.
Yeah, hope not. You know who his deputy was for the first 2 years?
Bacho Akhalaya.
Did ding, ding, ding. Yeah, good one there. Yeah, he amazingly, Bacho Akhalaya was the
deputy.
So you do your research on the prisons, and then, you know.
Then you run the prison, then you... Then you go to the country.
Right. Minister of Foreign Affairs, Maya Panjikidze, spokesperson for Georgian Dream, formerly Georgia's envoy to Germany 2004 to 2007 and the Netherlands 2007 to 2010. State Minister of Euro Integration, Alexei Petriashvili.
Not a real job, by the way.
Not a real job, by the way. Although Tourniquet is such a great guy.
Tourniquet was a great guy. That's true.
That's bad. I hope that they can somehow figure out a way to, you know, I don't know, have him do something. Georgian Dream Coalition activist and representative of the Free Democrats. He was ambassador to Turkmenistan and Afghanistan from 2004 to 2009. Those are wild jobs. Minister of Agriculture, David Kirvelidze, who was former Minister of Agriculture under Shevardnadze and has been working for a bunch of USAID projects for the last several years.
Known as the only honest man in Shevardnadze's cabinet, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very nice guy. Formerly with red hair and now bald, so we've got that going for us. Minister of Labor, Health and Social Affairs, Amiran Gamkhelidze, former Minister of Health under Shevardnadze. Not a youngster. I mean, like, the Ministers of Health under Shevardnadze, basically what they do would be, like, to sit by the phone and be informed when somebody important's parents were sick, and then call them up and say, need a hand? And that was kind of what the Ministry of Health did. I'm curious.
Hopefully he'll do that for the entire population.
Minister of Culture and Monuments Protection, Guram Udashadia.
So what I've heard about this guy is he goes to Abkhaz. He's from Tsuchumi. He's an IDP. And he is like the one Georgian guy from Tsuchumi that the Abkhaz love. And he goes there with it trouble-free. They just let him in. They love him there. He's incredibly conciliatory. He's meant to be a really, really good guy. And he gets and he has massive cachet in Tsuchumi. So.
But he's not the only guy who goes, but maybe he's the only one that they love.
Yeah, I mean, very few people go, and yes, but he's one of the very few that go.
That's very interesting. I'd not heard that about him. Huh. Minister of Sports and Youth Affairs, Levon Kipiani.
Why didn't they give it to Kaladze? Why didn't they give sport to Kaladze? It makes me so angry. It's the obvious choice. You've got a famous footballer.
Because they wanted to give it to, you know, Kipiani's son, Levon. State Minister of Diaspora Issues, Kote Surguladze, from the Free Democrats.
Not a real job.
State Minister for Regional Development and Infrastructure, Kaja Kaladze, former soccer player and number one on Georgia Dreams Coalition
Party
list.
Did you see what he said when he came out of the ministry?
Yeah.
He came out there and goes, unfortunately, they're doing amazing things here.
I'm sad to report that, with a budget of...
We're going to change that.
With a budget of 982 million lari, this ministry is one of the country's largest and responsible for implementing a bunch of foreign donor-led building projects.
So basically, they don't run the budget. They just have a lot of money in their budget, which they don't spend. It's like it just sits there and gets spent by the World Bank, right?
More or less.
Still, you know.
Archil Kbilashvili, the lawyer and analyst of breakaway Abkhazia and South Ossetia, has been nominated for Prosecutor General. Pata Zakharishvili, political expert and representative of the Republican Party of Georgia, been nominated for the reintegration minister's post.
Great choice. So that's a really good choice there. He's another guy that has a lot of kudos in Abkhazia. He's a noted conflict resolution guy. He works closely with people like Conservation Resources. He's basically, you know, he's got the goods. He'll probably rename the ministry for reintegration.
And that hopefully that press release will be translated into Russian and, you know, be slotted around some. Dato Usubashvili, leader of the Republican Party of Georgia and husband of Tiniko Khidasheli, the much maligned by the new interior minister on one of those tapes that showed up. But he's fantastic, started Young Lawyers, very, very bright guy, is a wonderful choice for the job, and has a pretty big job. I mean, interesting now that, you know, it says a lot about what has happened to the Parliament of Georgia in the last 3-4 years compared with 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, everybody talked about the Parliament. Nobody really cared about the ministers because they were all the same and didn't do anything. You know, whereas now there's a lot of focus on the government. No one's really too worried about the Parliament, and so good that they're going to have a steady hand on the helm there. Manana Kobakhidze, head chairman of Georgia Dream, has been the first deputy speaker.
Not very good on women's representation, as far as I can tell.
Indeed.
Has got a huge job, and the foreign minister's a huge job.
Counts as like two?
Well, they get two of the biggest jobs. But anyway, what I would like to say is also, Deputy Prime Minister, you missed out the bad news that came out today. Now the vice Speaker of Parliament is going to be everybody's favourite, Mourman Dumbadze, who is a notorious racist, homophobic idiot.
Indeed. That's bad news. So the, you know, highly important job of Deputy Parliamentary Speaker will be there. So what that means is that Dato Usubashvili cannot travel for the next several years. Or be sick or anything else. Head of the National Bank of Georgia, Nodar Javakhashvili, Kharkiv Bank Director.
That's a presidential appointment.
Yeah, they cannot do it.
Listen, pendejos, will you let me finish, please? Mr. Smarty Pants Interrupter, you know?
And normally they don't change this person, I think.
Okay.
No, normally they don't change the person at all.
Okay, got it. Just slow down there. So this is an elected position by the board, as I was about to say when Smarty Pants is around the table interrupted. So that brings up the question of how independent the supposedly independent positions will be, which they certainly were not under Misha and were rotated all over the place. But, you know, positions like head of the Central Elections Commission, you know, the head of Tbilisi State University and others that were essentially political appointee positions will will need to be monitored carefully.
Yeah. And National Bank is important because you can print money. Which is
exactly, and if you know, if
you,
for example,
you can grab the foreign currency reserves and all that,
and do you know what you want, or just say like, I mean, if you wanted to create hyperinflation, the head of the National Bank could do that, you know, fast. Revaz Shavashvili, the former head of the Chamber of Control of Georgia under Shevardnadze, was put forward as the head of the State Audit Service. Although Bizina has already named candidates for both the head of the National Bank in Georgia for the head of the State Audit Service. Dato Pakradze, current chairman of parliament, said to Rustavi Odi News on Monday that Georgian Dream is not able to choose those posts. They are occupied by Irakli Kadagidze and Lasha Tordaya, respectively. Ivanishvili also said that he would nominate Vakhtang Khmaladze as candidate for president of Georgia if elections were held now. But he may change his mind at some point during the year.
He is going to head the, or chair the Judiciary Committee, which is a very important one.
Legal Affairs, isn't it?
Legal? Yeah. And he made a statement today where he suggested there should be an anti-monopoly agency to fight high-level corruption, which was a bit all over the place and didn't really mean anything.
But he says that's going to be the first law they work on, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's been they've been talking about that a lot in the last several days.
He's a nice Kamala, man.
He's a very nice
he's
guy.
He's a difficult man, too.
He's a difficult man. I mean, I think we should say that. He's very respected. He's probably the most important, you know, father of the current Georgian constitution. Well, not the current one, but the normal one that was written in 95.
Yeah. But he's not a lawyer, as far as I know.
And he's a lawyer, but
I think he's a physician or something like that.
He's an extremely complicated person to deal with, and more so as he gets on in years. And I will also say that the spectacular failure of the opposition related to the election law negotiations have to do, at least in part, to the fact that because of him, they just spent an incredible amount of time on these biometric IDs. And so whenever anybody talked about the election law, you know, he would make sure that number one on the list was biometric IDs, which was a very, very bad idea.
And a total sideshow.
Well, a complete sideshow, and meant that many more important issues were never discussed and were sort of swept into the law that was passed with Targamadze and Gamkar Lidze.
In terms of the cabinet overall, one thing I noticed is that there's only one Republican in the entire cabinet who is Zakharashvili, who is State Minister of Conflict Resolution, so there's not even a sort of a serious power player in the cabinet. You've got Usupashvili, Speaker of Parliament, obviously, but they have a faction, they have eight MPs, so I mean, I think, you know, the Republican Party have a long history of sort of going their own way at inopportune moments, and I can't help but wonder if this is one of those times.
Well, I mean, you know, that brings up the question as to how much of a party are the Free Democrats and the Republican Party, and I think that people like Alassani and people, I think the Republican Party actually has support as a party more than the Free Democrats.
Not that much, though.
But tiny, 3%. I mean, a tiny amount, you know.
3 or 4%.
Or two or so, you know. But you know, the question, it seems as if Ivanishvili made the decisions, and he made the decisions based on, you know, many different factors and didn't really worry too much about the party, which was frankly a good thing for everybody concerned. The question is, what's going to happen politically to these groupings? And you know, the Republicans and the Free Democrats have exactly the same electoral constituency, I mean, in terms of the types of voters they're appealing to and need to get together. Why they hate each other's guts, I'm not entirely sure. But
I'm going to say two reasons. One, because the Republicans are obsessed with their policy of having a parliamentary republic. That's their flagship issue. And the Free Democrats are committed to a presidential system. Also, one of the people who notably was not nominated for a cabinet position, Tina Ukhidasheli, the wife of Usupashvili, is notoriously quite difficult to get along with, you know, in terms of cooperation.
Certainly for Khadabashvili.
Yes, and I mean, you know, famously back in the last presidential election in 2008, you know, it was her standing behind Grichica, sort of telling him what to say and slapping him on the wrist when he said stupid things, which is quite often. and that certainly alienated quite a lot of other people. So she, you know, there's some interpersonal issues there with the Republicans, right, which mean they have difficulty cooperating with other parties.
Well, so these macro and micro matters should be resolved sooner rather than later. Georgian Dream Representative Koba Davitashvili told representatives on October 11th, that meeting today, that they are consulting with Irakli Manigadze, former president of the National Bank of Georgia, on appointing him Minister of Finance. He works at the head office of the EBRD and worked as the head of the National Bank from 1998 to 2005. He was very ticked off when he left. It was, what was his name? Gotsaridze was a guy who replaced him. And it was, you know, one of the early appointments that, you know, that really illustrated that the independent positions were not going to be particularly independent under Misha. I don't know. He's got a pretty good gig at the EBRD. I don't know whether he's going to take that job.
And 98 to 05 is kind of an interesting time period to have lasted in that position.
Well, Shevardnadze was, I mean, very careful about the National Bank because of the hyperinflation in the early 90s and the coupon period. And so the National Bank always remained very independent. I mean, they had under him, they issued treasury bills. They paid the treasury bills that were sold in 97 and 98. They, when the lari devalued because of the Russian devaluation, they paid off at the original rate, which they were under no contractual obligation to do. And I mean, the National Bank was really quite well run under Monegadze. So I mean, I think Shevardnadze was careful about that. Okay, the things that have not been named are Minister of Economy and Sustainable Development, Education Minister, Environmental Protection, Energy and Natural Resources, Minister for IDPs, and Minister of Employment, although it looks as if that one will be Deep Six.
So if anyone has any ideas, please put them on the forum right to...
Actually, on the forum, we take recommendations.
Yeah, so, cover letters and CVs for Minister of Education, please.
Now, the parliamentary committee chairs are Committee of Agriculture is Gigla Agulashvili of the Republican Party, Civil Rights and Human Rights and Civil Integration, Eka Veselia. Committee for Education, Ivane Kiguradze of Georgian Dream. Environment is Gia Tsagadeishvili, who's officially been of a bunch of different parties, but has actually been working with the Free Democrats. Yeah, exactly. Been working with the Free Democrats in Parliament, and not a bad guy. I mean, he was sort of the guy in the opposition that was trying to do stuff. There were very, very few of them in this past Parliament. Committee for Sector Economy and Economic Policy, Nodar Kataguri of Georgian Dream. Committee for European Integration, Victor Dolidze, quite a good guy, close to Alessania. Defense Committee, Irakli Sesiashvili, who's been a longtime commentator on security issues, legal issues, as mentioned, Khmaladze. Regional Policy and Self-Government is Irakli Tripolsky of Georgian Dream. Committee for Foreign Affairs is Tedo Japaridze of Georgian Dream. He was Georgia's ambassador to the U.S. over the last for 7 years, from 2000 until 2002, and then served as foreign minister for 4 months from 2003 to 2004. Found out he was no longer foreign minister in favor of Salome Zurabishvili on television, which made him not be so friendly to Misha. He was then working for the Black Sea, whatever that thing is, something council, he began to be sort of politically active, and along the way got his diplomatic passport revoked as he was living abroad working for the Georgian government. Procedural Issues Committee, Irina Imerileshvili, this is an important committee and will be particularly important at the beginning of this parliamentary term because so many of the rules have been sort of, and corners have been cut.
Where's the parliament going to be? I guess they're going to have to decide that.
You heard it here first, Tbilisi. Committee for Finances and Budgetary Issues, Dato Onoprashvili, who has taught at Vanderbilt, by the way, and was also way back when, right after the revolution, was the head of railways for a little while. Committee of Sports and Youth Affairs, Larry Khabelov of Georgian Dream, was a 1992 Olympic champion in freestyle wrestling. Committee for Health and Social Issues, Dmitry Kundadze of Georgian Dream. Central Election Commission has decided there will be repeat elections in 3 districts and a total of 7 precincts, according to IPN, because of violations. 5 of these polling stations will be in Khashuri, 1 in Sikhnahi, 1 in Gori. In Khashuri, Sergo Kitiashvili of the United National Movement and Georgian Dreams candidate Valeri Galashvili are contending for the seat. Galashvili? Oh, I didn't even know he was a candidate there. Yeah. Galashvili
is for a long time the majoritarian candidate in Khashuri, MP in Khashuri. He's from Khashuri. He's a local boy made. Gody made millions and millions and millions in Lithuania. He spent a lot of time living in Vilnius. He'd had a construction company here in Georgia. There was a big scandal back in 2005-06. He was responsible for constructing... He had a big palace of his own where the presidential palace now stands, basically. Misha said, I want it, build me a palace and we'll give you lots of money. He said, fine. This is when the Republican Party, of which he was a member, was still with the National Movement. So he started building the presidential palace. There was an issue about money. He didn't get paid properly. And so he sort of went on the attack. He said some very nasty things about Misha's wife. And about Misha's sexual proclivities himself. And he said that on TV. He said it to a journalist, rather. And then he was driving in his, fancy chauffeur-driven motor down Akhmashenaberi Avenue. He got blocked in by 2 cars on either side. Guys in masks, in ski masks, pulled him out of the car, beat him to within an inch of his life.
His bodyguard.
Yeah, they pushed his nose into his brain, rather. He nearly died. He had to be flown to Lithuania for emergency medical treatment. Nothing was taken. He had a gold watch. He had an expensive mobile phone. He had thousands of dollars or whatever it was on him, none of which was taken. It was put down as a robbery and never investigated. He was then... There was yet more scandal involving the presidential palace being built, and he was stripped of his MP's credentials and has not been back in Georgia since, I guess, until now.
Huh.
What so that's his story.
So he ran remotely...
He's back now.
We also don't hear many people saying bad things about the president's wife either, though.
No, he later apologized and said he was drunk when he said, well, he didn't say something bad about the wife. He said that Misha was unfaithful
to her.
And sort of said, poor her, that sort of thing.
Okay, Ivanishvili has said in interviews that he intends to combine a policy of EU integration and NATO membership, and Maya Panjikidze said the same thing. So all of these rumors of, like, turn to Russia, I don't know, seem to be not...
Visit to Washington, D.C.
Which is, like, deeply ironic, because Misha's first visit was to Moscow.
Yes, I know.
I mean, but good luck being a pro-Russian Georgian president, right? I mean, even if you really want to be a pro-Russian Georgian president, Russia is just going to turn around and slap you in the face no matter what you do. So, give it a try.
If you wanted to be, let's say you're a, you know, FSB stooge, what do you do? Like, how would you do anything? I mean, that you...
I don't know. You've privatized many assets.
I mean, they're already, the Russians own everything anyway.
Isn't Lukashenko basically kind of testing this or no?
Well, Lukashenko is a big friend of Georgia. I mean, you know,
No, but I mean, in terms of the relationship with Russia and...
Oh, he's gone. He's now on the Russian side. I mean, it's like, you know...
Lukashenko?
Yeah.
That's not true. I was just in Minsk 2 days ago, and there was a little chat about Georgia, and he was going... He told one of our people when he discovered that she was Georgian, he described what a hero Misha was. How they were such great friends, how Misha is a real inspiration to him, how it broke his heart that Misha lost the election, but Misha will be known in history as a hero for doing the right thing by his people, by letting the Georgian dream come in. He is a huge, huge Georgia booster, and Misha booster personally.
And apparently a Democrat.
What a Democrat. Boy, I'll have to reassess. Like, did you talk to him about maybe considering... that as an example?
Well, I'm not going to go into that, but I will say that I read a great article about the Georgia-Belarus axis, and apparently when Washington wants to speak to Belarus, they call Misha. And they have it's a real mutually beneficial relationship. I mean, by A, not recognizing the breakaway regions, which everyone thought he was going to do, and B, by basically having a visa-free regime with Georgia, which I just exploited myself,
as a Georgian citizen,
that means that Georgians don't need a visa to go to Russia, because they just go to Minsk, they pay $100, get a cab from the Minsk airport, cross the Russian border, there's no border there, you're into Russia visa-free. And he allows that to happen.
Very interesting.
So there is a real thing, the Minsk flight.
The whole deal with the Minsk flight is... I was wondering...
Are you still entering Russia illegally?
No, of course not. You're totally illegal. But, still there, and you're working on a construction site or whatever it is.
He hasn't done it, of course.
No, I didn't do that. I just went to Minsk.
Interpress News reports that nominee for Minister of Justice Ted Zalukiani has stated that the criminal code will be partially amended. Plea bargaining needs serious reconsideration. Juries must be retained insofar as they exist, which they don't really yet. They have one, but okay, whatever. They're great. I'm a fan. Just do them, you know. They need to be reformed since they're modeled on an archaic Belgian model. Her two main stated principles are, first, Belgium. Let's kick Belgium every chance we get. That's one of the mottos of TheBillPod.com. Stated principles. First, equality before the law and no selective justice. Second, punishment must be adequate and serve to improve the criminal, which is good, since we all know that the whole deal under Saakashvili was that criminals, you know...
Get warehoused
and punished. You know, an example from the United States with the highest criminal population in the world.
Which, of course, I mean, Quakers were the one that started the whole penitentiary systems. Which is that you are separated for a specific period of time from society, and then you have an opportunity to reflect upon what it is that you've done and how you've wronged, and then you re-enter society as kind of a person who's gone through this reflection process rather than been completely abused and humiliated and turned into an even worse person.
Exactly. Yeah, hats off to the Quakers. Zalukiani also mentioned her intent to adopt a law on large-scale amnesty. With respect to Georgia's law on occupied territories, the nominee for State Minister of Reintegration, Panta Zakharashvili, told Maestro that, quote, the law should exist and the sanctions should be minimized because we need to contribute to the movement of people, goods, and foreigners in the conflict zone as much as possible, end quote. The example he gave of the sorts of changes he would envision would allow peasants residing in Gali to go to Zudidi to sell hazelnuts and would also allow for an increase in the flow of tourists from Russia to Georgia.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I have to say that I think that there's already a lot of small-scale trade that happens. Lots of people are mm-hmm. crossing the Inguri with perishables in order to sell back and forth. Things in Georgia proper, you know, in Zugdidi are like five times cheaper than they are just across the river. So, yeah. I mean, this has been happening already, so it's nice that maybe they're yeah. considering legalizing it.
Totally. Second, third, fourth track, man. That's what it's all about. And let's hope that Bidzina, you know, after, you know, things are consolidated and a little more normalized, he's got good Russian, does a sort of Russian language address to the people of, you know, Abkhazia and says something, I don't know, useful. This in from Interpress News, dated October 10th, Tbilisi Mayor Gyulava has signed a decree setting up a Tbilisi City Hall security service, which will be responsible for protecting the mayor, chairman of the city assembly, and other officials. Main task of the Tbilisi City Hall security service will be to protect Tbilisi City Hall buildings. The head will be appointed by the mayor. They went into the interior ministry today and were evidently told to come back tomorrow in civilian clothes. Lots of flexings and hurt feelings and all those sorts of things.
Apparently they're not allowed to carry arms, mm-hmm. which is important, I think.
According to Trend News, on October 5th, Misha signed a decree which states that the Special State Protection Service of Georgia will control the procurement agency instead of the economy ministry. The agency is responsible for providing the president with a governmental residence, controlling construction, operation, maintenance, and equipment, serving foreign government delegations and high-ranking guests arriving in Georgia, as well as controlling the implementation of investment projects.
It's SPS, I guess, which is the
State Procurement Service.
Right, but isn't it the people, the police cars with the presidential guards, basically?
It's actually also, Trend is a terrible, terrible Azeri news agency. This is also a Civil Georgia Today, and it went into this in a bit more detail. And so it's that, and it's also the Special Communications Service,
yeah.
which organizes secure communication between the head of the Security right. Council, the Speaker of Parliament, the President, the Prime Minister, etc., which is like a sort of internet thing. Basically,
right, which I would speculate can also do a lot of domestic surveillance.
You mean sleeping? Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I mean that's probably what they're there for.
So that was, I mean, yes, that was announced on Civil Georgia Today. I think that's I don't know about Trend, but that seemed to be what Civil was saying.
Okay, so the
October 8th.
On October 8th, Pertzeli Information...
Pirvelli.
Sorry, not yeah. Pertzeli. Pirvelli Information Agency reported that the Tbilisi budget's old Tbilisi Rehabilitation and Development Fund, I was thinking Pundi, paid for diva strip club visits for influential members of Misha's government. According to the documents, in just 5 days, 5,129 lari was transferred from old Tbilisi Rehabilitation Development Fund to Club Diva's account to pay for visits, typically by parties of two, though once by a party of four.
And what's interesting about that fund is it's completely opaque. It's not at all accountable to anybody other than the mayor.
The Tbilisi Rehabilitation
yeah.
and Development Fund?
Yeah. It has been. There have been several of these funds been set up by the city of Tbilisi to pay for renovation of certain districts without following procurement rules, without being, answering to freedom of information requests, all that.
I am told that there are photos of Tbilisi Mayor Gyulava in Shangri-La Casino in a state of some inebriation with some rather attractive ladies. Sort of hanging themselves around his neck. I'm told those photos are out there, and I'm told those photos are about to be released. So.
Uh-oh. You hear it here first on TbilPod.com.
So it's good to be back.
So he got that security because his wife is about to kick his butt.
Also, the Diva Club, owned by people close to the government.
Indeed.
Amidan Gamkhalidze, the candidate for position of Minister of Healthcare and Social Issues, said the ministry will start paying allowances for unemployed people, Interpress News reports. He did not specify details of the plan, including the amount of monthly payment. A son of Gamkhalidze is head of Aldagi BCI, a large insurance company. Dr. Lidze has said that his son might resign from his current position to avoid conflict of interest.
And I like went through the numbers here. I don't think the incoming minister has made any calculations about what that would mean for the budget. But if we look at the population of Georgians of Georgia between 18 and 64, that's 2.9 to 3 million people. If you assume real unemployment is somewhere around 30% of people who would claim that, if you pay them 100 lari per month plus 15% overhead, you're
also optimistic.
Optimistic, yeah. You're at 1.2 billion lari a year only for unemployment benefits, for 100 lari per month per person. And we have the draft budget for the next year is 7.1 billion, which is a balanced budget so far. So this would, you know,
be a huge chunk.
Well, Fijita's got a lot of money, man.
Also, 100 lari a month is very generous, isn't it? No, it is
very generous.
What's the average salary for? It's like 300, is it?
No, 670.
Okay, all right.
Yes, that's the official stats for the average Georgian salary is around 600 something.
You know, I'll take it back.
You can question that. But,
it's not generous at all.
So this is interesting because it's kind of like the introduction of a welfare system or the dole. I mean, I guess Georgia hasn't had anything.
Georgia
is
turning to the left. I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah,
and the
libertarian government with a Ministry of Jobs. Civil.ge reports that Bidzina met on October 5th with a large group of business people, among them Mark Mullen, from across a broad range of industries and vowed that his government would provide equal conditions for all businesses and would eradicate the state practice of pressuring businesses. He also told business leaders that to immediately set up alarm bells if a government official exerts pressure on them. He's promised to create an anti-monopoly agency. The whole thing was so packed that it was kind of impossible to get in there.
It was very hot. I heard it was very hot.
Yes, it was also very hot. So I sort of hung around out front and just chatted with people. Among them, two South African farmers in Gardabani. Very interesting guys. Really fascinating talking to them. They've got a 1,000-hectare corn farm. They've got some fancy equipment that they said they don't know where. That somebody like next door had some tractor from like USAID or something, a John Deere tractor that nobody knew how to operate because it was so new and complicated. They were really, really fascinating. I was very, very impressed.
And they didn't get screwed. They were okay.
They were happy with everything. I mean, they said, they're going to take five guys down to South Africa for the South African harvest to, show them how it's done on a big, gigantic farm. I don't know. They seemed quite. I mean, they were a little nervous. I mean, what does this mean and all the changes and whatever else. But great.
So, and if I can remind people what I said at the beginning when I was told to be quiet, was that
I didn't tell you to be quiet. I just sort of motioned that this would come up later.
So. It was interesting. I talked to a number of people who were there right after they came out of it, and it seemed like there was a mixed vibe. On the one hand, you had people who were really a little bit concerned, as Mark said, about what this meant for business and what Ivanishvili was going to do. But then I heard from a lot of people that he was constantly referring to the courts. If you've had problems, if you've had your property taken away, if you've had, if you've been wronged by the previous government, then go through the courts, go through the courts, go through the courts.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, that's exactly the right answer, frankly.
Yes, exactly.
And so, I don't know. In general, I came away quite positive with that. I mean, he said, instead of what often Misha would say, which is like, I'll take care of it. Talk to my people, and I personally will take care of that. He was very much like, go to the courts. Everyone says the courts are ridiculous. He says, yeah, we'll fix that too, but, we don't want to have too close a relationship. The Aversi guy was very funny. The Aversi guy says, yes, we've been having some problems there. And he said, tell it to the hand. I have a hospital, that I funded up, somewhere in Trevilla or something like that. And, we're forced to buy your monopoly products. And we have, his whole launch on any monopoly issues was directed exactly at the adversary.
Exactly where it needs to be.
Exactly where it needs to be. So the draft budget for 2013 has been published on the Ministry of Finance website. Expenditures of 7.1 billion, revenue of 7.2, of which 6.7 will be from taxes, 154 million from grants, and 350 million from other sources.
Namely, Ivanishvili's pocket.
Right. No.
Plea bargaining, traffic fines, all that stuff.
News.ge reported on October 9th, the Georgian Dream authoritarian MP candidate from Batumi, Mormon Dumbadze, at a special briefing, stated that legal entity of public law, or as they're called in the trade among the English speakers, LEPL, Batumi Boulevard, which was funded by the Ministry of Finance and Economy in Ajada, will be handed over to the Batumi mayor's office soon. Dumbadze said, quote, local self-governance is controlled by the national movement, end quote. Therefore, placing Batumi Boulevard under the mayor's office control means that its financial side will also be controlled by the UNM. Internet.ge reports that Bidzina made the following statement about Armenians on October 6th. I am so surprised why Armenians do not return to their homeland.
Come on.
I mean, did he say that?
He did say that. He said that it was taken out of context, but it was kind of like, oh, they have this country right nearby. And I mean, it was the comment was bad and stupid and, you know, if you want to get uptight about it, reprehensible. You know, afterwards he sort of backtracked and apologized, and I mean, I think, look, he did a lot of talking in those first couple of days and then sort of, you know, calmed down a little bit on
it. But there is a lot of context that you could provide that would make that statement make sense. I mean, the fact that I know numerous Armenians who have gone to Armenia in order to receive higher education because of the educational opportunities here were not available to them, and I'm talking about, you know, 5 years ago or something. I'm talking about, you know, Georgian language education not being offered for those populations. So if someone were to preface that statement by saying that the opportunities that are provided to ethnic minorities, including the Armenians, makes me wonder why Armenians haven't already returned to the land that's right there, then that makes complete sense to me.
That's not how I preface it. to tell you the truth. But anyway, I mean, it's like, okay. I mean, we're just getting that out there. Look, there's a lot of people. The fact of the matter is that the national movement was extremely progressive on how it has dealt with Georgia's minorities and with other neighbors and visa-free travel for everyone.
And religion,
you know,
and
religion
and sexuality.
People, you know, people are a little nervous about that and are carefully sort of reading the runes there, and they're, you know, that Ivanishvili has gotten it wrong a couple of times, and let's hope that there's a quick backtrack. And he also has some people, wingnuts like Dumbadze and his team that are clearly on the wrong side
of
that.
Well, I'm always really shocked by people who have spent, I mean, a Georgian who has spent extensive period of time in Russia would come out and make a statement like that,
yeah,
you know, towards an ethnic minority. I mean,
for sure. On Saturday, Gagra marked its 20th anniversary since Georgian troops left the territory. Young people with Abkhaz flags marched in the village of Bzipta to Getcherprish near the border of Krasnodar. Abkhaz leaders, war veterans, and local residents laid flowers on monuments of soldiers who died in the conflict. 21st round of internationally mediated peace talks on Georgian conflict will be held in Geneva on October 11th, 12th. Delegation from Abkhazia, Georgia, Russia, and the United States, South Ossetia are participating. Consultations, which are being held under the auspices of the UN, EU, and OSCE. Interpress News reported on October 9th that Misha appointed Brigadier General Georgi Kalandadze as the director of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Georgian Army, replacing Devi Chankotadze. Formerly Kalandadze was Deputy Director of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Armed Forces. Civil.ge reported last week that there was a series of robberies in Tbilisi on October 4th. An armed man broke into one of the service stations, Bank of Georgia in Tbilisi, and reportedly seized cash after pointing a gun at the teller. Same day, an unarmed man broke into one of the branch offices of ProCredit and seized money from a teller. Only a small amount of money was taken in each case.
Like 200 lari or something.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, there was, people were sort of like, you know, I think some of the National Movement's PR people were sending out emails saying, there's a rash of bank robberies.
And then Misha ordered, like, the ministers to sit at the desk and tell them, you know, like, you have to make sure that police is doing their job. And
okay,
yeah,
but...
So it's kind of...
I think you should give a little context, too. I mean, someone's walking in, and there's a person behind glass, and there are guards, and there's cameras, and someone walks in unarmed and says, give me your money? I mean...
Okay, but that's not what was being sort of discussed by the, you know, the National Movement's PR people, which is like, look, here's the instability you asked for, you know, guys. And so, I don't know, I think we need to look at it.
A lot of people are genuinely concerned about that. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people who were kind of apolitical, didn't feel very strongly either way about the election and so on, but I'm sort of genuinely worried that wandering around so unlucky late at night, they're going to get beaten up, basically.
Well, something to think about.
Dangerous, violent people who wouldn't have dared under Misha is basically what they're saying.
So they don't believe that the police reform was done correctly? I mean, they think that the police are totally under UNM control?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. The other question is, what's going to happen to all these Kuti guys? Like, as they've said that they're going to get rid of Kuti, the constitutional security protection, whatever thing it is, you know, which is basically the dudes in, you know, with big guts and black t-shirts and sunglasses.
Burkas.
You know, if they get disbanded and they're out on the streets, you know, and there's a spate of bank robberies, you know, I'm guessing to be the Cootie guys.
Yeah, but come on, this is probably the exact same things that people were talking about when Saakashvili disbanded the entire police force.
Well, not really, because, those, not
no,
really
they
because
they were the problem.
They were the problem, and everybody knew it. It was the smartest thing you ever did.
Yeah, except that you're talking about people who had access to weaponry, who, you know,
were disgruntled.
Yeah,
people absolutely did worry about that. And, you know, how that was not an issue, I'll never know. Most of those cops seem to be driving cabs along Rustaveli right now.
Can I have a minute to talk a little bit about what happened in the media in the past few days, which
yes.
I think is quite
it's
interesting.
Hugely important.
So, you know, TV9, Ivanishvili's channel, is now on air in Tbilisi without the appropriate license. And so far, the regulator hasn't really done much about that, which is interesting, I think. Channel 25, which is this quite popular Batumi station, has been basically independent and quite critical of the government for a long time, was sold 5 days before the elections, and only now they kind of informed the public about it. And one of the 50% shareholder is a UNM, is a guy who just won a UNM majoritarian seat in Salenjiha. Yes. And there are stories about a name with the same guy who also was appointed the head of the Constitutional Security Department in the Ministry of Interior in July under Ahalaya. There are stories that a person with this name is very close with the Ahalaya family or a relative. So, you know, we will see what happens there. Imedi said they're canceling most of the popular entertainment shows, including Nanuka's show.
Nanuka is the wife of Irakli Kodua, who is the famous former head of the Special Operations Department and subsequently the Criminal Police.
Who recorded Padar Khatashvili with his show.
That's the one. And who lives in the amazing palace on the corner of Baratashvili Bridge, on the top of that building with a gold dome and the funny clock. That's his place. But can I just, interestingly about the Imedi thing, so they are, isn't it deeply ironic that Imedi has come full circle and is now going to be an opposition mouthpiece again after all these years?
24-hour news channel.
But I mean, also, I'm sure that these shows, because they have the biggest shows in Georgia, they have Shua Kalakshi, which is the Friends clone, which is totally unwatchable but for some reason popular. They have The Night Show, they have that silly comedy show and stuff. They have the hugest shows in Georgia.
Do they have still have Female Logic? Is that still
around? They're getting rid of that one too.
But I suspect these shows will find themselves on Rustavi 2, which is now, of course, as I'm sure Matthias is about to say, owned by the same dude.
Well, it was resold. So Kedrashvili, which bought it 40% last week, sold it on to Georgi, Karamanishvili, who is a businessman who is regarded as very close to Misha. And then there's a bunch of people who want Rustavi 2 and Mze back, who say it was taken from us in 2004, in 2007. There's different groups who want their assets back. And one last thing, Real TV, which is a small, you know, very government, very close to the government station.
Absurd
propaganda station. They now shut down their TV news because they said they ran out of money. They said we might come back as a news TV station, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Hope not.
The lamented Real TV.
Sarke Information Agency reported on October 9th that the Georgian government has signed two agreements with the EU which aim at securing long-term dwellings for IDPs, poverty reduction, peace settlement of conflicts, total of 23 million lari. This from Interfax. Colonel Nikolos Zaganzgava, detained on August 20th for disobeying police, has been freed. Prior to his arrest, he was in charge of Georgia's Joint Chiefs of Staff Strategic Planning Department. Interview with Maestro, he said that he was freed only because of Georgian dreams of victory. October 5th, an identified person assaulted writer Zaza Burchiladze. He suspects that the assault was due to his protest against the Georgian Asavalda Savali newspaper, a publication which we reported last week that unlawfully published the names of employees at Goldani's now notorious prison number 8.
Can I just go a bit more into that story, which is he appeared on a talk show on Maestro versus head-to-head with the editor of Asavalda Savali, everyone's favourite, you know,
stupid newspaper.
Yeah. And he was there to sort of say how wrong it was that newspaper published those names and addresses. The editor presented a bunch of quotes from Butchelaze's books, which mentioned things like gayness and sex, which is obviously totally evil and anti-Georgian.
Right.
And so he mentioned the gayness and sex and various other things, taken totally out of context from what are, after all, works of fiction. And they suspect that it was those incendiary quotes So
he's a homosexualist.
No, he's not a homosexualist. He's potentially a liberast. But anyway, so it was those quotes which the theory goes inspired someone to beat him up. And also, they know who beat him up, but they refuse to take the case to court because if a guy faces 3 years in jail and he says, "Listen, I don't want anyone going down for 3 years for, you know, hitting me in the face," basically.
Huh. Yeah. I know there's a protest right afterwards after that. That was near the Patriarch's office, and there are a bunch of priests there. And interestingly, when Maestro, because somebody I know quite well, was at the protest, and when Maestro
reported
on it, they said, Maestro said that there were a bunch of young people, and at least the person I know there was, not in university, and said that the priest then calmed the young people down. And that, in fact, it was the priests who were the ones who were being violent, and the protesters themselves. So,
and apparently there was one Maestro journalist who then spoke out later and said, actually, that was wrong. The priests like kind of heated up the crowd, and like he was like an aggressive guy.
We all know the type of priest we're talking about, right?
And that Maestro journalist was fired as a consequence.
Oh, really?
That, apparently, yes.
Look at Maestro.
Another great day for
media. on a related note, David Acobia, one of the authors of the video footage which showed the torture. Prisoner was released from prison on Wednesday, according to Jabba Jishkadiani, member of Free Democrats. He's not made a public statement yet. Imedi TV reports a U.S. military delegation of Marines headed by Lieutenant General John Paxton is in Georgia. They visited the National Defense Academy in Gori and received the academy, were received by the academy's director, Goga Kveladze, who showed them around. Black Sea Press reported on October 3rd that Misha cuts the sentence of footballer Georgi Demetradze in half. He was serving a sentence for membership in the underworld.
That means he's a thief in law.
Yeah. That's the idea.
Can the president half sentences?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The Committee of Oblivion, as it's often mistranslated, recommends to the president who he should pardon or sort of cut sentence of.
Or banish to the underworld.
Committee of Oblivion? That is awesome!
On October 9th, Sargay Information Agency reported that the Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources announced an online auction for mineral extraction licenses for a total of 20 licenses, primarily for sand deposits. Most licenses will last for 5 years. Starting cost is 250,000 lari. It'll be open until November 8th. Little different than the previous mineral license auction. That they had, which was for umpteen gazillion dollars, bought by somebody registered in who knows where, but it's actually Kobanikopia. Eurasia Partnership.
Who's in Parliament again?
Yeah. Who's in Parliament? Yeah. European Partnership Foundation or Eurasia Partnership Foundation, whatever, announced on October 10th that Georgian public broadcaster TV Channel 1, which has been running the TV talk show European Choice with co funding from EPF from April 2011 to 2012, fired executive director Georgi Chanturia.
No.
No.
What?
No. They fired Vaho Sanaya, who was the person running the talk show.
Right. Yeah, and EPF statement claims that in that these unilateral changes violate the terms of their contract, and the foundation is therefore under no obligation to continue co-funding the show. And they're just mad.
Not speaking on behalf of any organization, the contract that EPF had with the public broadcaster had actually expired already. There had been discussions of a no-cost extension, which had been initiated by the public broadcaster and then was never followed through, and therefore there's no actual relationship at this point between EPF and GPB.
For 2011, Sakstat reported that the average nominal monthly salary in Georgia was 636 lari. Nicely done, Matthias. This figure is up 6.4% from the previous year. The women's average salary is 460 lari. It grew by 7.9%, whereas men's average salary is 771 lari.
It would be more interesting to see the median income, actually, because the few high-income people really can rig the stats.
Right.
But the salary growth difference is interesting, too. Because women's salary grew at
8%,
a little bit less than half or twice,
I'm
sorry, twice as much as the.
I got to tell you, man, that's a very high salary. I think I don't know. And this from the Tabeelpod.com Santa Monica desk officer. The Financial published an article on Monday about fears of business reprisals against UNM-affiliated businessmen, especially those listed on the UNM's official party website, including Samson and Levon Pakadze, from Soso Khakadze from Visoil Group and Vasil Dzotsadze from GIG Group. On the contrary, perhaps there is some good news. Quote, some businessmen may seek more involvement and partnership with the government. Temur Chikonia, owner of Coca-Cola Bottlers in Georgia and the McDonald's chain in Georgia, said he can restore relations with South Ossetia and Abkhazia if Georgian dream comes to power.
Oh. And actually, the article only quoted people, I think, who said, yeah, you know, this is going to be positive, we're, you know, optimistic, but just the headline said there's fear of reprisal or something.
Yeah.
It's like, not really, nobody really said, I'm really scared that, because I was so close with the previous government, that they're going to take my stuff away now.
Yeah, exactly. Although there was an interesting drop in gasoline prices recently.
Only by whistle.
Sarki Information Agency reports that the internet operator Silknet is set to increase the speed for their optic internet package SuperDrive from 16 megabits per second to 22 megabits per second. If you currently have SuperDrive, the new speed will be automatically activated.
And we're not getting paid for these announcements.
Yeah, exactly.
Just what comes through the news wires.
Public service, you know. So, yeah, you're tired of waiting for your, you know, Facebook.
I did just hear lots of people complain about SilkNet packages, just to balance that out.
Pegasus Airline began flights between Istanbul and Batumi on Monday. Round-trip tickets start at €125. Iare Pechit, the pedestrian rights organization, has spoken with Radisson Blu regarding the hotel's development of nearby parking lot. Radisson Blu is working with the city council to plan for speed ramps, pedestrian pathways, and zebra crossings, as they're known over in Will's neighborhood, to make the surrounding area more walker-friendly. Although now that the Smart Shop is open, everybody's parking cars in front of it on the sidewalk all the time, sadly.
Can I mention, I think that someone needs to really make an initiative to clean some of these underpasses. There are two underpasses that are terrible. One is down by the Courtyard Marriott, and the other one is in front of the Radisson. And I would think that...
The Courtyard Marriott is really, really shockingly bad.
Nobody uses it other than
to relieve themselves.
It's absolutely amazing. And I mean, I'm talking both as a pedestrian and a driver, and as just a resident of Tbilisi.
You've driven
it's
through
absolutely,
that underpass?
Oh my God. I would drive through that underpass just to move faster. But it's true.
Somebody needs to deal with that. And the reason they haven't is because you can't really see them and because the government has been driving around in cars a lot. So let's hope that for those who care about pedestrian rights, Iare Pechit, IAREPEKHIT, Google it, look for it on Facebook, and join.
Maybe Iare Pechit should also advocate for cleaning up of these...
And public bathrooms.
Join them and tell them. Each podcast, we feature the GeoCapital number of the week. GeoCapital is Georgia's coolest, hippest microfinance organization. Full disclosure, I am a shareholder. They kindly give to BeoPod.com an interesting number, which lets people know what's going on in Georgia. This week's number is 12,800, which is the number of hospital beds in Georgia at the end of 2011, according to Geostat. This is down from more than 18,000 in 2003. The number of physicians has remained steady over the same period at 21,800, while the number of paramedical staff has gone down. Georgia does, and I say this with air quotes, quite well in terms of physicians per capita and ranks near the top of the table according to WHO data. Only Greece, Monaco, San Marino, Belarus, Austria, Cuba, and the tiny Polynesian island of Niue have more physicians per capita.
All these socialist paradises.
Socialist, ridiculous, corrupt places.
Monaco,
like that. Yeah,
San Marino.
Yeah. Austria.
Belarus.
Yeah, essentially, so you heard it here first, in terms of health policy, if anybody's interested, Georgia needs fewer doctors and more nurses, well-trained, serious nurses. For information on Old Tbilisi historical preservation issues, as we mentioned last week, see www.tbilisiheritagegroup.co.uk. We misannounced the website last week. Most recently, it's written on Puris Moidani or Bread Square near Gudiashvili, where there are some horrible things going on. We also want to thank you to the dedicated, uptight, nerd field pod listeners for the following information. Gutzon Borglund, the man who carved Mount Rushmore and Sheridan Circle in Washington, the equestrian statue there, along with his son, was not Swedish, but was Danish-American.
What's it like to be wrong all the time?
The smart shop on Rustavelli is interested in learning what foodstuffs in Tbilisi... I think that's the first time we've ever said foodstuffs on this show. What foodstuffs Tbilisi residents want from the U.S. and Europe but are unable to get. As a special offer to listeners of TobioPod.com, send in your requests. No promises. After we've had a sufficient number of people send in the request, we'll have a Google survey that we will post on the forum for you to vote on which stuff you want and to pass on to Smart. Post your requests on our forum or send something to our email address. That can either be the Facebook forum or the regular forum. Colga movies this week are Eat, Pray, Love on Friday, October 12th. I heard it was a very stupid book. I'm guessing it was a very stupid movie. Cachet, a French movie that some people...
Done by an Austrian.
That some people pretend is Austrian. 2005 on Monday, October 15th. Junebug, great, saw it. 2005, Wednesday, October 17th. All movies start at 8 o'clock, Dom Kino, across from McDonald's at Roosevelt Valley Metro, and are in English with or have English subtitles. That's it for this week. Will, it's been nice to have you back, man. We missed you, buddy. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to our forum at www.tbilpod.com. We will finish with a tribute to the new government, a trip back to 1976 with Casey and the Sunshine Band and Shake, Shake, Shake.